Jeff, good to see you again, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, and it's great to see you and be back on WGN again.
This is no surprise, but we already have callers lining up. You do SSI and SSDI, help people out to make their claims and get the money that they've paid into, that we all pay into, for these sorts of things when they're not able to work. And can you sum it up in 20 seconds, then we can get right to the callers if people are like, wait, what are those two things?
Sure, and you've done a great job, even from our first time together, learning the terms.
Thank you. Butter me up. That gives you more time on air. That's how we do it.
Any disability case requires that we be able to prove through the records of current treating medical specialists that our clients are suffering from symptoms which make work impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about medical treatment, medical notes, and the inability to perform work for at least a year because of those medical issues.
Okay. And really quickly, because some people might think, why are my tax dollars going to pay for people that, they can't work and they're going to not work for 25, 30 years? That seems crazy. We pay into this, right?
So the SSDI program, we all buy. It's just like our car insurance or our homeowner's insurance. We just pay for it through our payroll taxes, which our boss matches. So half of it comes from us, half comes from our boss. And it goes into the trust funds, and our retirement, our disability, and our survivor's benefits all come from the payroll taxes. SSI does come from general revenues, but that was Congress's decision many years ago that the elderly and disabled poor should not necessarily need to be homeless or suffering, and we provide them at least minimal support.
So SSDI is insurance.
Social Security Disability Insurance.
Mm-hmm. Just like everything else, which also means that if you have a claim, you should go after and you should get it, correct?
And you may have to fight for it.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines, and we're going to start with Linda, then we'll get to Randy. Hi, Linda, you're on WGN. Linda? I think she's on delay. Linda turned on your radio. Tell you what, we're going to put Linda on hold because she's going to hear us in about 9 seconds calling her name. Instead, we'll go to Randy. Randy, you're on WGN, I hope.
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
So my question is, with Social Security and all the rumors with it being able to pay out in the future at a reduced rate and having a small railroad pension, my Social Security gets combined with my RBB because you can't, I guess, double dip. How will that affect me if I become, God forbid, disabled? Will I be able to, how does that work in regards to Social Security with an RBB?
So you're talking about at current projections, I think the year 2033 is when Social Security is set to go over a threshold where reduced benefits would start to take place. I would be shocked if that happens. I think that every politician would lose their job if they couldn't figure this out. Having said that, the political climate is what it is. So in that scenario, Jeffrey, are you fearing what could happen in the next 8-9 years or so?
Well, everybody fears that our politicians are going to be such chickens that they're not going to address the hard issues and get this resolved. But 70 million people in the United States receive benefits through the Social Security Administration. They need to get this done. There are bills that have been pending for 2 or 3 or 4 years already in Congress that solve the issue, and they're all compromises. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to have to compromise.
Everyone's going to hate the bill ultimately.
Absolutely. But we did this in 1981,
mm-hmm.
and we protected the program for like 50 years after that. It's almost 50. It'll be 50 years, and we can do it again. We just need the politicians to say, okay, we're going to do it. And it's up to us. It's up to people like Randy to pick up the phone or send an email to his congressman and say, I shouldn't be planning in 2025 how I'm going to suffer in 2023 because you won't solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Solve the problem.
I don't think it'll get to that point. And so, Randy, this is all on you. I don't know if you heard that, buddy.
Yeah, no, I heard that. So my question is, with a 10-year pension in the railroad and Social Security, let's just say it doesn't get approved,
okay,
and they go ahead and they reduce our benefit. Does the railroad pension cover the gap, or am I just, like every other American, out of luck?
I don't know.
So,
Do you have any idea?
There's no way. I don't know that for sure, but here would be my best opinion on it. If you reduced by the amount of Social Security you're getting and your Social Security gets cut, the railroad then would step in to cover the difference up to whatever your maximum railroad benefit would be.
That would be a guess out of the dark, but let's hope we don't get there, Randy, okay?
That makes sense. Yeah, thank you for the information. Appreciate taking the time.
All right, write that letter. Randy. Write that letter and let me know. Okay, let's hope we got Linda now here. Linda, can you hear me?
I can.
All right. Linda, what's your question?
How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. Is that your only question? Because that's an easy one.
No. And I'm just not certain as to what to say.
Okay.
This is a situation. My mother is in a nursing home rehabilitation center, and she's 100 years old. She'll be 101 next month.
My goodness.
Wow. I tell you the truth. But they were on me about a payment for her, you know, being there. And to tell the truth, I just don't understand a whole lot of it. And
so the way you mean the nursing facility was asking you to make a payment on her behalf to continue to stay there? Was that it?
Well, more or less. But what they were saying is that I'm not sure how this works, but I was thinking my mother was getting spousal
Social Security.
Social Security, right, because she never really worked. She used to do some domestic work, you know, some time ago, you know, when she was younger. But
her husband, who is passed,
yes,
she should be getting Social Security from his benefit, correct, right?
That's what I'm thinking. And then I went to Social Security. They told me I was at the wrong office. I should go to one in Hillside.
Mm.
Well, I never made it there because they told me that Labor Day, that's when her appointment was, you know, I would have gone for my mother, would have been, and they were too, wouldn't be able to see me. So we're working on another date for me. And then came the thing about the payment. They needed some money. Give them some money. What I want to know, is it fair that even though my mother has never, ever really worked and got Social Security taken out of her benefits, but that she has my dad's spousal money? I just don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot going on there. I think that, you know, she's entitled to that money, of course, as a spouse. Jeffrey, there's no cutoff of that time, right, as far as you know. Spousal benefit, right?
No, it would go for her life as long as they met the requirement of legal marriage, married long enough, da-da-da-da-da. So, yeah, I mean, she should be getting her spousal benefits. And this is where government politics have gotten in the way, because Social Security is so short-staffed right now, you should be able to pick up the phone and get an answer. And if you go to one office, they use the same computers. There was no reason for them to send you to another office. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that was just, they were trying to get you out to get the next person in. So either call the Hillside office and make an appointment. And if you still don't get a good answer, call your congressman's office. Every congressman has a community benefits services person to help with issues with the post office or Medicare or Social Security, and they should be able to get you an answer.
It works too, Linda. I guess I'm just a little confused, Linda. Are you just asking, is she getting that benefit, or do you know that that benefit has stopped coming, or is that what your ultimate question is on her behalf? You're just trying to make sure she's still getting the check?
Actually, what they said to me, because I believe she's still getting a check. I have not seen one, but it was a thing about X amount of days, they wouldn't bother her. Then if she was in this facility after a certain amount of days, then they would, you know, want some kind of payment. And I just didn't know that that's the way it worked.
Yeah,
that your monies can go towards some other people being getting benefits, but it can't go to you for your benefits. It's just, and then they threw an SSI that I was really not familiar with at all.
Okay.
And
that's,
when I heard
that's
this today, I just said, let me call.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you calling. I don't know if we have all the answers here for you. This will go ahead, Jeff.
So here's what I would suggest. Every nursing home has social workers in the facility, who address exactly these kind of financial issues, because the nursing homes want to get paid.
Right.
So what I would suggest you do is contact the nursing home. Don't go by yourself. Whenever you have a meeting like this with Social Security or with key financial people, bring somebody with you to hear, because it's nice to have a second set of ears. And it also keeps the person who's answering your question a little more on their toes, because there's a witness to the meeting. And go in there and lay it all out. And they have ways to check this for you, because they have whole systems in place to make sure they get paid. You shouldn't be wandering around the bureaucracy by yourself.
All right, Linda, we appreciate the phone call. That's great info from Jeff. We got to take a break here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Again, Jeffrey does SSI, SSDI stuff before we open the floodgates to all sorts of financial questions. And those are maybe for your money matters, but we will take this break and have more after this on WGN. Jeff, by the way, where can people reach you at if they want to reach you after the show? Next week.
Best way to reach us is call us at 312-431-1000, 312-431-1000, or send a chat on our website, which is www.rkblegal.com. And if you do that, always mention that you got referred to us by WGN, so that we give John credit for
his
work.
Yes, exactly. I want the points for that. I don't know what those points cash in at. Nothing. There's no fair trade value on that, but just for my own ego, that's what I like to hear. Let's go to Robin. Robin, you're on WGN. Hi, Robin.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing great. Well, I don't want to speak for Jeff. Are you doing great, Jeff?
I am doing fantastic.
Okay,
it's
great.
A great day.
I took that assumption, but go ahead.
Okay, Jeff, I am in a situation where my grandson has a very severe heart defect. He's already had like 4 open heart surgeries and he's sick. Is he in any way qualified for any SSI or SSDI benefits?
How old is he?
6.
Oh, so he's very young. Go ahead, Jeff.
So
very young.
So
I'm sorry, by the way. Yeah.
Are you his guardian?
No, no. The problem is his parents are struggling financially, and I just didn't know. I mean, some of his medicines, the copays are well over $100. So, wow. You know, I'm just trying to figure out if there's any benefits that could go to him to pay for some of those medical costs.
So the answer is there absolutely may be. SSI is available for totally disabled children, but it is means tested. That means assets and income in the family make a difference. If
sure.
the parents are really struggling, there is a formula that the district office applies to determine whether there would be SSI eligibility. So where do the parents live?
I don't want to say the exact town, but they're in the northern suburbs.
Okay,
that's fine. So if they are in the northwest suburbs, they'd go to the Mount Prospect Social Security District Office. If they're in Lake County, they'd go to the Waukegan. If they're on the east side of the Cook County, they'd go to Evanston. But call there, make an appointment, have their most recent tax returns, and they can go in and talk to them. They could also do this on the telephone.
They
can run their financials real quickly. It won't take them long, and they'll say, oh, my gosh, you make too much money. There's no way. And it's a very low threshold. You make too much money, we can't help you. Or they're going to say, you know, we can't give you the full benefit because of the offset, but there may be something. It is absolutely worth checking out.
Is this SSDI or SSI then?
This is SSI,
yes.
Supplemental Security Income.
Okay.
That's what I thought, because, and the other thing with their financials is they just ended a bankruptcy. So that's why I'm hoping maybe
I
don't know. Their income,
We'll
have to see.
And excuse me, Joe, I'm sorry. I just looked this up yesterday for another caller. 40% of all bankruptcies are due to medical bills in this country.
It's crazy.
I'm not surprised. I'm not. Like I said, he's had 4 open heart surgeries.
What are we doing here? A poor 6-year-old, and we're making people go bankrupt to copay. Don't get me off this soapbox.
Well, yeah, all their other expenses as well. But yeah, the medical ones just hit the hardest. So.
Well, you're such a nice grandma to call. Yeah, Robin. Good luck, and you can always follow up if they need to, but I think you got a good head start, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thanks.
Right. Good luck, Robin.
Yeah. Bye. We're up against the news, Jeff. I'll give the number one more time. 312-431-1000, rkblegal.com. I got that all right, right?
You got it.
Okay, we're going to have more with Jeffrey Rabin, so get your calls in now. 312-981-7200. We're going to talk a little bit about how mental health plays into SSDI and also some great stuff that NAMI's doing. Saturday afternoon, thank you so much for joining us, everyone. John Hansen here. I always forget, Jeff, do you like Jeff or Jeffrey?
It's Jeff.
It's Jeff. So all those times I said Jeffrey, I should have been looking over at you to give me that look to say, don't say Jeffrey.
Jeffrey was only when my mom was mad at me and wanted to make sure she got my attention.
Well, you get to call me now Jonathan a few times since that's my full name, and I've called you by your full name. Okay, Jeff. We've had a lot of texts, actually, from the listeners who heard about the child with the heart condition that Robin just called in about, suggesting support through Medicaid for long-term care, dependent child, and going to their local DHS office. This is now three texts from people saying that. What a wonderful listenership family we have here at WGN to step up. And you'd give a thumbs up to that idea, right?
Great advice. It's, you know, I was just addressing the Social Security portion, but absolutely they should go to the Department of Human Services office or website and see if they can get Medicaid for their son.
Okay. This is from the 217. This is kind of a three-parter here, Jeff. My daughter's in St. Louis, has long COVID, has been denied twice for SSDI. Is long COVID seen as something that someone can get SSDI for?
Absolutely. If the evidence supports those symptoms and that they preclude work, we've represented a lot of people with long COVID and gotten them the help.
Okay. The text goes on to say she now has a lawyer and a hearing coming up before a judge. That's good. It's almost like Social Security wants a person to give up. Any thoughts on that?
So that was actually one of the things I was thinking about coming down here today to talk about. 50% of the people that file and get their first denial abandon their cases, even though a good percentage of them are really entitled to the help. So want them to give up, that's a little strong. The reality of the way the system is set up, many people do give up, and they shouldn't. If they really feel they have a claim and they have medical support, push it all the way through to the administrative law judge hearing, because it's the only time that you get to see and talk to the decision maker.
Face-to-face.
Face-to-face, video-to-video, yeah. Right.
The third part of the text was, you just mentioned to a caller about contacting a local congressman. Would that help in my daughter's case?
So congresspeople are really useful at getting things unstuck. So if a file is just stuck someplace, or if payments aren't being made properly. In terms of the actual outcome, congresspeople don't have any input, and we really wouldn't want them to.
So this person already has a hearing. It seems like they're going through the motions. No need to write the congressperson right now.
They won't be able to give them any help, and they shouldn't. We don't want cases decided based on political clout.
Very true. But a great text for the 217, and we appreciate it, and good luck at the hearing. Okay, NAMI. What is NAMI? You do a lot of work with them, don't you?
I do a lot of work with NAMI. The National Alliance on Mental Illness is the largest lay-led mental health support organization in the United States. There's over 800 chapters. In Illinois, we have NAMI Illinois and then a bunch of local affiliates. I actually have a second job where I'm executive director of NAMI Cook County North Suburban, NAMI CCNS. We're located in Skokie, and we cover the North Suburban area of our community, and we provide free support groups, free education for parents of adult children with mental illness. We provide programs in the school. Last night we were at Rolling Meadows High School spreading the word of mental illness and watching the Rolling Meadow Mustangs do well in their football game. We were trying to educate parents and children that not to be afraid to talk about mental health and mental illness.
That's great. You guys have anything coming up that you want to give a shout out to that really helps people benefit stuff?
Two big programs. First, our biggest fall fundraiser is next week, September 27th at 9 a.m. in the Glen, at a park called The Gallery. We're having our NAMI walk. We're also having a kids fest as part of that. And it's a short walk. You bring your family, you bring your dog, and you just come out and try to participate and say, mental health is important, is as important as physical health. And you know, you break your arm, you go to the doctor, you show your cast off, everybody signs it. But if you have severe depression or anxiety, you don't talk about it. But if you don't talk about it, you don't get help, it's only going to get worse. And we don't want people to be afraid of that stigma.
So that's the 27th of September.
27th at 9 a.m. in Gallery Park. And then tonight in Highwood, there's a wonderful bar called The Toadstool. And there's a fellow named, and I haven't met him yet, I will tonight, a fellow named Bill Pantle, P-A-N-T-L-E. And he's put together five bands who are all playing for free just to raise money for NAMI CCNS and for our programming. And it's useful because we don't charge for our programs. Everything we do is free. So, yeah, tonight, come to the Toadstool between 6:30 and 10:30, and there's five different bands playing for free, and all you do is click on the QR code. You can make a small contribution and help us out. Otherwise, come to our walk. Be part of the community next week. I do this in addition to my law work because it's important, and it makes a difference in our community.
I'm looking at pictures of the Toadstool. This looks like a cool place. It's kind of got like a mini outdoor pavilion, a lot of beers, a little beer garden. It's at 327 Waukegan Avenue on Highwood, Illinois. That's tonight. The walk is next Saturday. Where can people go for more information about all this stuff?
All of our at our website, NAMICCNS, Cook County North Suburban, NAMICCNS.org. You'll find all of our events listed there, our programs, and I'm really proud of the work that my team does to help people.
Well said. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Talking about mental health, is our mental conditions covered by SSDI?
Which is how I ended up at NAMI. So the answer is yes. Many of our clients suffer from severe mental illness. It could be bipolar, it could be depression, it could be PTSD, it could be agoraphobia. The stories sometimes are horrific. So again, like any other medical problem, it all depends on the evidence. So if somebody has a mental health condition and they want to get benefits, we're going to insist that they be treating with a psychiatrist and a therapist. Because number one, we want them to get better. And number two, that's where we get the evidence that shows their symptoms and their impact on function.
So a clinician actually writing up what's happening.
Those case notes are everything. So we work really closely with our clients. Education of our clients is a key part of the work we do in my office to teach them what are the three or four specific questions that are going to matter in their case and make sure they're addressing those with their therapist and psychiatrist.
Right, because, and it might seem like that's coaching someone, but you're just trying to get them to extract the information they're giving you and to be able to get that information to the professional who then is able to note that down. Maybe it is a little coaching, but it's more so just making sure that what's happening is documented correctly.
I would consider it coaching if it were trivial, but right. In fairness to Social Security, the questions they're asking are really important ones that people should be addressing in their therapy. It's how do your symptoms impact your ability to interact with other people? Well, being able to get along with other people is a key part to survival in society as well as work. It's about how do your symptoms impact your concentration. Being able to focus, complete tasks, that's an important day-to-day function. And the third one is how do your symptoms impact your ability to adapt and manage your life, get out of bed, shower, shave, deal with stress, deal with change. All very critical mental health functions that need to be improved if somebody is suffering. So I don't mind, and I don't think it's wrong. In fact, I think it's important that we teach clients who have severe mental health issues to focus their therapy on those functional abilities because that's how they're going to have a better future as well as create the evidence for their disability or SSI application.
50% of people get denied the first round, you said, for SSDI. Actually, or no, 50% give up.
So it generally, in nationwide, at the first level of review, 65% of the cases get denied, 35% get approved. The 35% that get approved are usually pretty obvious cases, Alzheimer's, brain cancers, heart transplants, double amputations, pretty obvious cases. If they lose, they get to appeal. It's called reconsideration. At reconsideration in Illinois, 10% of the cases get approved and 90% get denied.
Wow.
If we lose there, then we get the hearing before the administrative law judge. And that, like I said earlier, is the only time that the claimant will ever go face-to-face with the decision maker. They get their chance to testify, explain their issues. We make sure that the medical evidence and records are all in front of the judge. Oftentimes, we give them a written summary of what we think the evidence actually documents. The judge gets to question the claimant, and then the decision gets made by the judge after that.
Okay. You can help out with people in any stage of that journey, I assume, before they go before the last step. But it's easier or at least a better front to – it's better to call you at the beginning. Right?
We actually prefer to get hired before somebody even files their application. We have one person whose only job in our office is doing applications to help people out. First, so that the application's correct, but that's not the key thing. The key point is that we have the discussion you and I are having right now, we have with every single new client in our office, regardless of their sophistication. We teach them, these are the issues. You have lupus. This is what they're looking for in lupus. You've had four heart conditions. Well, we need to know what your ejection fraction is, or we need to know what your treadmill test result is. You have mental health. We're going to educate you to talk to your therapist and your psychiatrist about your social functioning and about your concentration problems, both to help you and secondarily to get us the evidence we need to win your case.
Jeff Rabin, rkblegal.com, 312-431-1000, 312-431-1000. Your questions and calls at 312-981-7200. I've got a few more minutes left with Jeff, so get on the line right now. Jeff, we got some questions on the text line. Some on the phone line, too, we'll try and get to as well. You do SSDI and SSI. You know a thing or two about Social Security, too, broadly speaking. From the 630, how much does being under oncologist care for cancer count in an SSDI case? My wife can't even drive because of certain medications she has to take. That seems pretty serious.
So obviously having cancer is a serious diagnosis. The focus, though, is on what are the symptoms and how are they impacting her ability to function. Social Security doesn't really look into whether she could get to the job. So the inability to drive, assuming that she hasn't worked as an Uber driver as her main job, the inability to drive is not really a factor, but the side effects...
That doesn't seem fair to me, but okay.
The side effects of medication are often a challenge because doctors won't support that the side effects of medication stop people from working. They'll say they maybe shouldn't be an airplane pilot if they're taking Norco, but in terms of doing a desk job, they generally don't help us on that.
Because they're not saying that you can't do the job maybe that you were doing before. They're saying you can't do any job, right?
Social Security is a total disability job, but they do take into account age a little bit and education and work skills. But the folk, what I would suggest we do here is we contact the oncologist and ask him, hey, do you think that my wife's overall symptoms make work impossible? Here's a really quick story. Breast cancer cases are often very difficult for Social Security disability claims because you have to be totally disabled for a full year. Medicine has advanced to the point where oftentimes diagnosis, lumpectomy, mastectomy, chemo, and radiation is all done in 8, 10, 11 months. And we can't always get a full year in. Now, if it metastasizes, it recurs, whole different situation. But not every cancer automatically qualifies for benefits. But I would love to talk to him, 312-431-1000 next week, and just tell us that you heard us on John's show. And either Kelly or Susan or myself will be happy to go over the facts and try and help.
Yeah, for sure. That absolutely make that call. Why not? Why not ask? You don't get paid unless you win, and your pay is stipulated by the government, how it works, right?
Our fees are fixed by law. We only get paid if we win. I'm a terrible loser. When we win, our fee is the lesser of 25% of the first back benefit check or the commissioner's cap, which this year is $9,200. So it's 25% or $9,200, whichever is smaller.
And is it usually the 25%?
Yeah, it's usually not $9,200.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I wish it was.
And it's the back pay. It's not all the pay that you get for the future.
One-time fee out of that back benefit check. All the rest of the benefits go to my clients.
Okay, let's go to James. James, do you have a question about Social Security generally or SSDI or SSI?
Just generally.
Okay, what you got?
Okay, hi, John and Jeff.
Hello.
Hey.
My question is, my wife has been getting her Social Security for a couple of years now, and she just turned 70. I just turned 70 as well last December and started getting mine in April. My question is, can my wife switch over to my benefit at this time since I started taking it and I turned 70?
Do you know the answer, Jeff? I know.
So the answer is I should. First of all, she only collects a portion of yours. She only collects whichever one is greater. Now, there was just a few years ago a big change in the law about spouses taking benefits, but she didn't delay it. So the answer is yes. If you start collecting now, she should contact Social Security, determine if her percentage of your benefits would be greater than what she's collecting now, and they should give her whatever the greater benefit is.
All right. Call Social Security or go to ssa.gov, right? That's
correct.
A good place to get started and make an appointment. Actually, a pretty good site to use, I will say, for a government site for sure.
I keep it on my computer all the time.
Janice, I've got about a minute. What do you got?
A quick question, again, about spousal insurance. My husband had qualified for disability. He's getting his Social Security. I'm trying to wait until I'm 70, and I want to know if I can get a spousal payment until I get to 70.
So he's on SSDI, or he's just getting a normal Social Security check?
Well, he was getting SSI, but now that he's past his full retirement age, he's getting regular Social Security.
Jeff?
So it's almost the exact same question. So the answer is he's on retirement. You can collect a spousal benefit. You can go to ssa.gov, open up a My Social Security account there, which everybody should do if you haven't, and you can see what your benefit would be at 70, and then whenever you collect. Now, they may make you take yours now if it's bigger than the spousal benefit you'd get on your husband. You'd have to ask Social Security about that.
Okay. Janice, you want to follow up directly with Social Security? And thank you for the call, and thank you for holding. Jeff, we got to go. We always get so many great calls. Please come back again. We'll do it. And you want people to call you during the week, 312-431-1000. Ask the question. They may not have a case. You're going to chat with them. You're going to get some of the answers and let them know if it's a case worth fighting, right?
Anybody that calls our office will get an answer to their question, or at least get a consultation with myself, Kelly, Susan, sometimes Mark. But we have people there to help.
Okay, SSI, SSDI, rkblegal.com, 312-431-1000. How did that hour already happen? That was so fast, Jeff.
So quick. And before I go, please come tonight to Highwood to the Toadstool Pub, or come next week to our NAMI walk. This is the way we can all contribute and help make our community better.
Love that. Jeff, talk soon, okay?
Thank you, John.